7 online at bizradio.co.uk, and you're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Hello, Paul Andrews. I'm just going to let our guest settle down.
So I know. I've had a nightmare this morning. I am so sorry, Paul.
Well, you read some tweets and some things.
Well, we have had loads of tweets, so we've got lots to do, and we've got a fantastic guest that's arrived in the studio with no help from me whatsoever, and I'll explain that later. But we've had a tweet from Chips and Dinks, and they say, saying hello to you and your Business Bunker guests and listeners. Have a great show. We'll be catching up on the catch-up service later. So that's Chips and Dinks. The lovely folks, well, they do two things now. Three things, really. They repair motor vehicles, you know, scratches and wings and dings and things like that. And they also upcycle and recycle things. But they do mold treatments as well. So, anyway, give them a follow on Twitter, Chips and Dinks. They're lovely folks, Bev and Tony.
Mold treatment.
I beg your pardon?
Did you say mole treatment?
Mold.
Oh, I thought you meant the little mountains. I thought they'd gone into landscape.
Whack-a-mole. What are you talking about? Whack-a-mole. No, mold, not mole.
Just to say that our lovely guest, Paul Rimmons, has come in, and we're going to have him on in the second half, aren't we?
He's on in the second half of the show.
So he can chill.
He can chill and relax after me sending him all over the Kent countryside.
And you know, I've just seen another thing on the text that you sent him.
I know. Well, that wasn't so much me.
Even worse.
That wasn't so much me. That was my phone, who somehow translated later into tomorrow. How it did that,
I don't know. I hate predictive text.
Well, you see, I obviously mistyped the first thing, and then it went, oh no, you mean tomorrow.
Yeah, I hate predictive text. Gets you in a pickle.
You didn't want me here, did it, really?
Paul. Yeah. I think, you know, you're a pioneer to get here.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's four biscuits for you.
Let's get this out of the way.
Yeah.
For some bizarre reason, I sent Paul the wrong address to come to the studio.
And the wrong day with tomorrow. Even if it wasn't you.
No, that was in the text later.
Were you never taught to read it before you send at school?
Everyone's having a go at me. My phone's going off all over the place, and I'm trying to sort everything out and go live with a show. So,
poor little thing.
I know. It was like last week, people ringing me in the middle of the show to ask me about my mum's dementia. Yeah.
I know, even though it's on her notes. They thought you were being cruel and not caring.
I'll tell you, during last week's show, my phone rang. My mum's in hospital. She's 95. She's got dementia. She had a bit of a fall. The hospital rang me and they said, we're not very happy with you. We've been talking to your mum about what you leave her to do at home. I mean, you're joking, aren't you? Have you not read her note? She's got dementia. She don't know what she's talking about.
I know.
She has carers that look after her.
It's a strange old thing. I told you, one of my friends, who she'll remain nameless.
Go on, tell us who it was.
Actually got someone calling her about her health. I mean, that's unheard of. They said that her cholesterol levels were dangerously high, and she immediately needed to seek help with them and go on statins and all that. And she said, really? She said, because I'm very healthy and I eat healthily, and I'm quite surprised. She said to the nurse, you do know there are good and bad cholesterols. The nurse said, she said, well, could you just check again? So the nurse went back and actually read the notes, and her good cholesterol was high and her bad cholesterol was absolutely fine.
Yeah.
But they wanted to put her on statins.
Yep.
So, you know, we have to query everything. We have to be on guard all the time.
Absolutely.
Don't we, Paul Andrews? I heard some uplifting news. We do like uplifting news.
Mm-hmm.
If our listeners are ready to send in any tweets, because we don't call it X, do we? Nobody does. It's got to be the worst rebranding ever, hasn't it? Everybody I know says tweet me. But if you want to tweet us, use the B-Bunker hashtag. And let us know what you're doing. But my uplifting news that I heard this morning, and I've only heard a little snippet as I drove in, is sorry, I've been rushing around, is that Rishi Sunak is pledging to give our farmers some help, British farmers,
Is there an election coming?
Spot on. But He said something about helping them with robotics so they don't have to hire overseas workers. Can you imagine robots doing, you know, like, it's, I mean, I know that we've got things that pick things off trees, but, you know, it's nothing like a proper labourer, is there, really? I mean, I've got a robotic Hoover.
Yeah. Jules has house slaves still.
I would love a house slave. Yeah. My new husband is terribly messy, Paul. He's terribly messy. He's an academic.
Is he?
Yeah. I have taught him to cook. We've been together 30 years, but he's still my new husband. But I have taught him to cook. But when I first met him, I went round to his pad, which was a grotty little flat. It was a flat share. He was 22. And I realised, having stayed with him for a few nights, that he never changed his sheets ever in the first, you know, four or five years.
Oh, sorry, see, you've lost me.
Well, when he was young.
Why would you change sheets? What?
I have to wash his dressing gown. He has a toweling dressing gown. I mean, who has a toweling dressing gown instead of a towel?
Yeah.
And they're creatures to wash. I was going to swear then. I mustn't. Yeah. Got Ofcom, you know. So every now and then I hoik his fluffy dressing gown that he uses to dab himself all over for hours. Mm. I find that really annoying.
Can't you blow dry him?
I just have a towel, Paul Andrews.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I just do that and that, and I'm out. I'm quicker than him in the shower.
Yeah, okay.
Anyway, so every now and then I get this stiff sort of dressing gown off his hook and wash it, you know, and then give it back to him. And I've tried to persuade him. I've tried to train him, Paul, but, you know, he is an academic. Anyway, this farmer's thing, as I was saying. So they're also, Rishi mentioned, the thousands of vegetables that go to waste because they're ugly, they pledge to give them to the people who need them. But haven't we been doing wonky veg forever? We've been doing that. A lot of supermarkets do ugly and wonky veg. I think Waitrose do ugly and wonky veg. I know a Sainsbury's or something.
In breaking news, politician comes to terms with reality.
He's never had a knobbly carrot.
I
get mine in a veg box, I'm getting.
Blimey, we used to watch That's Life in the 1970s that had a whole feature about weird-looking vegetables.
Well, they had that sausage, didn't they?
The dog that says sausages.
Oh, yeah. Sausages.
Well, what a great way to spin things, aren't they?
Yeah. But really, this amazing news today is not what the farmers need. The farmers are, you know, up in arms all over Europe. And meanwhile, in Kent, I can only speak for Kent, but I know also Wales, just helping myself to tea while I chat. In Wales, I bring my own tea bags, Paul. I'll tell you why after in the break. But so meanwhile, the farmers are demonstrating, you know, with their tractors and that, because the councils are building on farmland. They're taking farmlands away from tenants as well, all over Kent, but also in Wales, I've seen. And then they're telling farmers to wild, you know, go plant wild flowers instead of actually giving us food that we need. So I didn't think this was very exceptional news from Rishi this morning, but he did. He thought it was, you know, mind blowing.
They're all detached from reality, the lot of them. They've got no idea what they're doing.
Lee just has somebody serving him up his food.
They're just totally detached from reality, all of them, every single last one of them, have no idea about living in the real world.
No, but my message is, if you have got a farm shop near you or a farm, go and buy direct from them. Don't buy it from Sainsbury's.
An even better message is just buy local.
Yeah, buy local.
Buy local.
We're lucky enough in Canterbury, we have the Good Shed, which is Susanna that owns it. She's bought a farm as well. She's got a huge mortgage. She's farming in a very special organic way. And all of her produce at the Good Shed is only from a 7 miles radius, most of it, unsprayed or organic. Most of it's unsprayed and a lot of it's organic. Then they've got a butcher there, which is local. Nose to tail. You can go and get your oxtail bits from it and your nose. Don't know what you do with the nose.
And a fishmonger.
A brilliant fishmonger, Shane. He's got the best fish. Mm. We get all our fish from him. He'll tell you how to cook it. You know, that's what you want. Mm. The supermarket, I was shocked when I went into Sainsbury's.
Were you shocked?
I was shocked.
You were shocked. She doesn't normally. Yeah. Were you shocked, Paul? We were shocked.
I was outraged as well. Yeah. I went into the huge Sainsbury's in Herne, which is sort of near Herne Bay, but it's a little bit out. Maybe it is Herne Bay. I don't really know. It's huge. I mean, it's like a mega store. And I went marching in to get some chicken wings for my dog, little rescue greyhound, raw chicken wings she likes, one or two a day. And You can give them raw, you see, before everybody writes
yes,
in.
Yes, you must be raw.
Yeah, not cooked. So I went in to get some chicken wings because my butcher local doesn't have enough, you know, for her to keep her going. Big dog. And yeah. Anyway, so I went in and there was no butcher counter anymore.
Oh, they don't comply me.
And no fish. I don't go in the supermarket much.
Well, obviously.
It's just this dog that makes me go in.
They've done away with the wet fish.
Yeah.
Place.
She said we haven't had that for ages.
The delis, there's none of that.
And you know what they've got instead?
Frozen.
No, pizza. Like, you can go and get a Sainsbury's made pizza.
Right.
So they've got a huge counter with pizza.
It's the sign of the times.
Yeah. I mean, everybody's going to be fat as barrels.
Oh, yeah.
Pizza doesn't fill me up. Does it fill you up?
I don't eat pizza. If
you did, would it fill you up?
Well, probably if I ate four or five pizzas.
Yeah, but that's the trouble. You have to eat. What about you, Paul? Does a pizza fill you up? I have to have broccoli with it or something to feel full.
Yeah,
you know?
I'm fine with pizza. No.
But
you have some chips with it.
Yeah.
Pizza and chips. Yeah. And he's slim as a rake, isn't he?
Yeah. Racing snake.
Yeah.
No,
the fingers wagging.
I'll be trying to tell you.
It's always trouble, Paul.
The Sainsbury's in Ashford, they have a sushi stand there.
Oh, right, because we're all Japanese.
They're at market, you see.
We're all Japanese.
Yeah.
I used to work for Sainsbury's.
Did you?
I was a baker.
Really?
Okay. Really?
There wasn't much dough in it, though.
Oh, yeah. Boom tish, yeah.
Really?
It's going to be one of those shows, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, we got the Two Pools show. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Do you want to say who's on the little recorded guest later?
We're going to talk to them shortly. It was an interview I recorded a couple of weeks ago, out and about, with some co-working space owners in Sevenoaks. So we're going to hear later on from Siobhan Hobson, Sandy Johnston and Mike Reed that operate co-working spaces in the town of Sevenoaks. We'll hear from them later, after the cheesy tunage, in fact.
Have I spoken to you since the lovely Steve Wright died?
No.
Because that was so sad. That was a real shock. I haven't read about it, much about it. I haven't seen much about it. But what a broadcaster.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I mean, the thing that we said in our family about Steve Wright is all generations, he passed through, like, our kids liked him. Mm. My mum liked him. She's 93. Our kids are all in their 20s and 30s. Me and the new husband liked him. Mm. So he was an, you know, brilliant, brilliant presenter.
Mm.
And real shock and sad. And
it was very unexpected as well. He hadn't had a long illness, or, you know, no one was prepared for it.
Well, there's quite a lot of sudden deaths at the moment.
Yeah, no, his brother did come out, Jonathan come out, and just said he didn't look after his health very well.
Yeah, at one time he was quite tubby, wasn't he? But he did lose quite a bit of weight.
He was diabetic and, anyway, I don't know. Who knows?
But he was recording the day before, which is really lovely.
No, absolutely,
really
lovely. It's one of those keeled over.
I always remember when I was press officer at the Penny Theatre, when it was a theatre, and we had Judge Dredd on stage. You know,
I remember Judge Dredd.
Yeah, and he died live on stage.
Yeah,
he actually died live on stage.
Yeah.
There's quite a few. Tommy Cooper did that, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. Yeah,
he died live on stage. What a way!
Just like that.
And he's got his fez on as well when he said that. So who's on in the beginning? Do introduce.
I just told you.
I can't remember what you said because I was thinking about Steve Wright.
It's like talking to my mum.
Yeah, who was it? Who was it?
Who have we got in the interview?
Yeah.
Shall I do it again?
Tell me again, because I was thinking.
Again. Sorry, listeners. I know you all know what I said, but she doesn't, because she wasn't listening to me.
No.
And that is nothing new. As you know, regular listeners to this show know that she never listened to a word I say. We have three guests who I recorded a couple of weeks ago in Sevenoaks.
Yeah.
We have the lovely Siobhan Hobson,
lovely
Sandy Johnston and Mike Reed, who all operate co-working spaces in Sevenoaks.
Now I know why I went on to Steve Wright.
Mike Reed, yeah.
Mike Reed, that's how my brain works.
Yeah, she jumped, didn't she?
Yeah.
I see that, Paul,
Gemini.
Yeah.
I'm
glad you explained
Gemini,
that to me, because I just...
Yeah, that was what it brought it up.
Yeah.
What do you call that?
Quantum leaping.
Is it?
Yeah.
I'm a quantum leaper, Paul Andrews.
And a few other things.
We've had a lot of tweets, actually.
We have. I was trying to read them, but you came in. We had a new listener here.
I'm
going to read this. It's Foxglove Custom Creations, and their Twitter handle is Foxglove Laser with a S. And it says, wow, yes, please. We'd love a shout out on the Business Bunker. We're Foxglove Custom Creations. We're an award-winning laser engraving specialist. we can immaculately laser engrave many surfaces from solid granite to metals. All our wood range is reclaimed, handcrafted to perfection, then meticulously designed and laser engraved. Blimey.
Interesting.
And what they called Foxglove?
Foxglove Custom Creation, and their Twitter handle is Foxglove Laser.
Well, they haven't clued me in. They haven't come up on my Twitter. They've completely ignored me.
Well, I don't blame them.
I know. I will.
They have bebunkered, though. They put the hashtag in.
Have they?
Yeah.
Well,
oh, yeah. Orbital Internet. They're on the show again in a couple of weeks' time, talking about the digital changeover. My mum's got to change her phone. That's going to be hilarious.
Well, we just had the BT people round, and he said that we've had copper wiring, not fibre. I don't even know anything about this, but he said to the new husband, you've had copper wiring, you know, and you've been paying for fibre for years. I don't know if that's true. I don't know. Anyway, now we've got fibre. I haven't noticed any difference.
Right.
You get a refund?
I don't know.
BT, sorry, well, they just put the prices up again.
I know, but you know that he didn't have a BT van, so he was just a freelancer or whatever you call it. But I think it's sad, don't you? Because that means they're cutting down, and that means he won't get a pension, he won't get any. Self-employed.
But as Paul intimated, and you ignored completely, are you sure he was actually from BT and he wasn't just casing the inside of your house?
Well, he did things.
He said he was, I'm sure.
I tell you what, he did like the greyhound, but he did go pretty sharpish, because he said that we'd have to reset all our TV and stuff, but we didn't.
What?
Yeah, exactly. It was very odd.
What was he there for?
To put in, you know, he took out all the copper wiring and put in fibre. He spent a lot of time in the alley.
Really?
Yeah.
Sounds highly dubious to me.
Does he?
Yeah.
I had so many texts from BT. I cannot tell you how many texts they sent me. That was
none of which you can reply to.
No, but like, honestly, like, we're coming and this and that. I think
I haven't got fibre.
Look.
I've got satellite.
Oh, have you?
Yeah,
oh, okay.
Satellite internet from Elon Musk.
Yeah, right. Oh, okay, Starlink. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool.
Oh, is it good?
Very fast.
Mm. Is it?
Very fast.
Mm. Yeah. I just leave it all.
Out in the village, the speeds are very slow, so I thought we'd get the...
I had
we need to do this. And
he's champing at the bit, isn't he?
And now you're annoying me.
Yeah.
I started off telling you that the reason I was telling you about switch over to digital is because Orbital Internet are coming on the show again in a couple of weeks' time to talk about it and talk us all through it. And they've tweeted today to say, "Hi, Paul, could you give a shout out for our giveaway, please? The details are on our Twitter page." That's Orbital Internet Group. I'll give you the handle properly. They're giving away 4 free hospitality tickets to the sold out game between Gillingham and Wrexham.
I saw that. Yeah, yeah, what a great... We love a giveaway. That's great. Yeah. And that's this Saturday, isn't it?
Yeah. Of course, Wrexham are famous because they're owned by the 2 American actors.
Who?
Ryan Reynolds
and his mate own... I can't remember the other one.
Debbie Reynolds.
Ryan Reynolds owns Wrexham Football Club for some reason.
As you do. Did you see my reply?
Hold on. Their Twitter handle is Orbital Internet. If you go onto their Twitter handle, all the details of that giveaway can be found there. Go on.
Did you see my reply to that?
Yes, I did.
With
a picture of Bobby Charlton.
And did you know it was Bobby Charlton?
Of course I do.
Yeah, good. That was I was going to do a competition, but then I was...
Do you know what I'm going to do now?
Tunage?
I'm going to do cheesy tunage now.
Yeah.
Is that all right?
Yeah. A 9 to 5, Dolly Parton.
Absolutely.
Got it in one.
Yeah.
Catching.
Tumble out of bed and I stumble to the kitchen. Pour myself a cup of ambition and yawn and stretch and try to come to life. Jump in the shower and the blood starts pumping. Out on the streets the traffic starts jumping. Folks like me on the job from 9 to 5. Working 9 to 5. What a way to make a living. Heavy getting by. It's all taking and no giving. They just use your mind. Won't seem to let me has to step on the boss man's ladder, but you got dreams he'll never take away. In the same boat with a lot of your friends, waiting for the day your ship will come in and the tide's gonna turn and it's all gonna roll your way. Working out.
Hey, Dolly Parton, 9 to 5, in homage, cheesy tunage, in homage to our next guest. As I've told, what's her name? Jules.
Yeah.
As I've told Jules twice.
Also. You need lion's mane, you do.
Lion's who?
Lion's mane.
That's an ice cream, isn't it?
That's a duh. Lion's mane. So, yeah, 9 to 5. So that's in homage for the next three guests. We've got three, are we?
I caught up a couple of weeks ago now on an outside broadcast. So forgive the sound quality, which is a bit...
Is it noisy?
Well, it's not noisy. It's a bit hit and miss because...
Was it windy?
No. anyway.
Hit and miss.
It was an outside broadcast and yeah. It was a live recording.
Paul, until he's steam coming out of his ears.
Yeah.
Then I back off.
It's not as if she annoys me or anything. I should be used to her after 16 years, really, shouldn't I? But
you
I'm not.
Be, yeah.
No, I'm not. She still drives me mad. So I caught up with Siobhan, Sandy and Mike, who operate very different co-working spaces in Sevenoaks, in the town of Sevenoaks. But they don't see themselves as competitors because they have slightly different offerings. So we discussed their journeys to start their fantastic spaces, how their business is going and what they see as the future for remote working. Let's hear what they had to say. This is Paul Andrews reporting for the Business Bunker Radio Show. I'm at the Sevenoaks Community Hub, and I've got three lovely people with me who are going to introduce themselves. So let's start with Siobhan.
Hi, I'm Siobhan from Help Suites, which is a small co-working space in Sevenoaks.
Cool. Hello, Siobhan.
Hi, I'm Sandy, and I represent Lime Tree Workshop, a slightly larger co-working space in the centre of Sevenoaks.
Fantastic. And
I'm Mike Reed. I'm the town team facilitator for Sevenoaks. That means I'm meant to encourage businesses in any shape or form that I can. And we have a business hub here down on Bradbourne Vale Road.
Fantastic. So we've got three people here that are running co-working spaces. As you all know, I run co-working spaces too. So we're having a co-working fest this afternoon, which is great. So, I don't mind who goes first. I'm interested in the journeys that you've all been on in terms of what inspired you to start the businesses you've had. And then tell us a bit about your businesses. I don't know who'd like to go first. Siobhan. We've all volunteered, Siobhan.
Thank you. So basically, I have had a virtual assistant business for about 8 years now. I was working from home around small children, pets and all sorts of things. At the time, there was nothing in Sevenoaks collaborative space. Also, a lot of my clients were small businesses, and I found that actually trying to work in Costa Coffee or discuss something really urgent and important wasn't great. I mean, I've got clients with home offices, and I've driven up to a few of them and been like, oh my god, please don't be a serial killer when I've been to pick things up. So I definitely needed a more professional environment for myself to work in. When MySpace came up, it's not a huge space, but it was a mess. And it was obviously too big for me. So very similar to yourself. I just needed a bit of room where I could work, but also what do I do with this extra space? So I very much fell into it. I signed the lease in December 2019. So it was a bit of an interesting time to open a collaborative space. However, the building did need a lot of work. So a lot of my first lockdown was spent stripping wood chip off of walls. My poor kids had to do a bit of child labour as well. But it was great. And we finally kind of opened the doors, I think kind of summer 2020, but we were very much kind of, one minute we were open, then we were shut again. We'd have one person per room. So it was a tricky start. And we didn't have big investors. I put a lot of personal money into it. So it was a few moments of, oh my God, what have I done? Yeah. But, 4 years later now, we've got a nice little community going. Thank God there's people at the desks and, it's a lovely place to be.
Yeah, cool. It's interesting, isn't it? The same thing happened to us during the lockdown. Everybody left and we just took the opportunity to refurbish offices. But you're quite right. I mean, I don't know what your thoughts and feelings were, all of you, on this. The way that I looked at it there was the stories I was hearing, and this affected me and some of my other businesses as well. So, for instance, I own a business that's based in Maidstone High Street, and we have a huge office there. And in lockdown, everybody went home, and I'm still paying the rent on a massive office that I don't need anymore, locked into an incredibly long lease, a 20-year lease, luckily. Thank goodness it ends this year. But I want to hear from you on this, and then we'll talk to Sandy and Mike about their experiences. But during that lockdown period, and hearing stories of small businesses that were really locked into leases that they didn't want, my thoughts and feelings were, this is going to change the market quite considerably, because once we're out of this and people are out of their leases, they're going to look for flexibility more than anything else. Have you found that? You've got co-working space, Siobhan. Do you have office spots as well?
Yeah, we do. We have three offices and co-working spaces. So we've got 2 4-person offices and 1 2-person offices. And actually, when I first started, I thought that the co-working was going to be what everybody wanted. But I think everybody did want and does want a lot more of the private offices. I was also surprised, because I thought my client base was just going to be freelancers like me, that make, one-man bands that just want to go in. But actually, a lot of businesses have either given up their full-time office space and use us like a couple of days a week, or there's businesses which, just come in for a meeting because they've had office spaces, but actually everyone's at home and they just meet once a month. So it wasn't what I was expecting. It's not what I envisioned, but yeah, that's definitely kind of how it's turned out.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's one of those things that changes as things unfold as well, isn't it? It's about flexibility. That's what we all do as a business, is flexibility, and you just can't keep on top of it. One of the things we've found in most of our spaces is that, as you said, Siobhan, you expect it to be a lot of, solo workers, freelance workers, digital nomads or whatever. But we have corporate workers. We have corporate workers that said, you can work from home, who don't want to work from home. They just don't want to commute. And we have a lot of them that pay their own, it's cheaper than getting a train. I mean, it costs 54 quid to get a train from Canterbury to London, and it costs 75 quid a month to be in Fruitworks. And you're going, no brainer. Yeah. And they use our electricity and our broadband. Yeah. To keep warm. I'm sure most of them just come in to keep warm, if I'm really honest. But it's a real mixed pattern of usage, isn't it? Cool. Let's hear from Sandy. Sandy.
Thank you. So for us, we were kind of the positive outcome, I want to say, of COVID, because we were not in the industry at all, not thinking about this. It's my sister and I who run the business. I took redundancy from meetings and events. My sister was on a sabbatical from interior design, and we embarked on the journey to open a co-working space exactly for those reasons. People don't want to be at home. Just because you were told you could work from home doesn't mean it's viable. It's really isolating. It can be really soul-destroying and miserable. And actually, to create some kind of space that would be a community, give you that opportunity to sort of just chat to someone over the coffee machine makes such a difference to people's working patterns. But we all realise that actually to gain back that time commuting is a game changer.
Yeah.
Be away from home, but 3 minutes from home.
Absolutely.
Perfect.
Yeah. So tell us what your business is called.
We're called Lime Tree Workshop. We're right in the centre of town. It's a much bigger undertaking. It's a beautiful old historic warehouse that has been restored. And we have a real split of permanent desks and private offices upstairs, and then co-working hot desking downstairs with monthly options. We have meeting space and the whole of the downstairs transformed into event space for evenings and weekends.
Cool. Do either of you own your buildings, the freehold of the buildings, or are they both on rents? Yeah,
we'd love to.
Yeah, I mean, the WeWork model is to own the buildings, yeah, which makes life a lot easier because you don't have to pay someone rent as well. But yeah, okay, no, that's cool. So, Mike, let's hear from Mike, and we'll come back and talk to you all in a minute. Mike.
Thank you, Paul. Yeah, this is Seven Oaks Business Hub. It's owned by the Seven Oaks Town Council, and it's on the same site as the council offices. This building, until 2018-19, was a Red Cross centre, dilapidated, falling apart. The council was wondering what to do with it. They had a vision themselves to create something of a co-working space. And then, of course, had COVID, and somehow or other, I really don't know quite how it happened, I wasn't here at the time, but they managed to develop the building during the pandemic period. So we opened 2 years ago, and we have five private offices and 13 hot desks and a meeting room and catering facilities and so forth. One of the differences between our three sites is that they will have different facilities which appeal to different people for different reasons. We're lucky we have free car parking and an EV charger. EV charger gets a lot of use, actually. I'm quite pleased with that. And we have a mixed bunch of people of all walks, really. Somehow or other, we seem to be a recruitment centre. We have quite a few recruitment companies operating from here. Most of our people are in the pods, and the pods turn over probably about every 6 to 9 months each. But there's nearly always a queue for those, so those go quite quickly. The hot desk, not so much. But since Christmas this year, they have an awful lot of new people signing up. And that's an odd thing. We have an awful lot of people signing up, but then they don't do anything for months on end. And then all of a sudden they pop out of the system, or pop up here, which is good. So it's good. And our meeting room is very, very popular. This is on the go much of the time. I think it's probably because of the car parking. And the range of companies we have for that is very varied. And what does puzzle me and pleases me is they come from all over the country. So why they find that Seven Oaks is the centre of everything, which of course it is, I don't know. But we're very encouraged with it. It's washing its face financially. We could do, with all things, we could do with more, but we're quite comfortable that it's doing what was set out to do, and it's not costing council any money, so hurrah.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for that, Mike. I kind of want to move along now and get your thoughts and feelings. We've talked a lot about the different types of businesses, and I know, Sandy, that both types are working very well for you in Lime Tree Wharf, both co-working and office pods, and also for you, Sean, to some extent. My place is the ones that have office pods are working well, but I have one that doesn't have any offices. Interestingly, we have a business very close to us that offers just office pods, and they're not doing very well either. But that's the nature of where it is. And I think that's the big thing about this. You know, even though you got Seven Oaks and you got at least three places in Seven Oaks, and where I am in Canterbury, there's half a dozen now different co-working spaces. They all offer something different, and they all have their own community spirit, yeah? So I kind of want to talk to you a little bit now about the community spirit that you have going. So, Siobhan, how do you see that?
Obviously we're a very small business, so everybody kind of knows everybody. We have a lot of regular members. We have a Villa Holiday Company, for example, who will give a discount to anyone that's a member that wants to book a holiday. We also have quite a lot of interaction with, you know, businesses referring one another. You know, we've got an accountant that comes in and people will either, you know, seek work from her or refer her to other people. From my own virtual assistant business, I've had people come and say to me, do you know how to use Xero? Or, you know, have you got someone that can type it? So I've actually personally had business from it. Also, I think, as Sandy previously said, what I miss, I used to work for it in a big office in London, and I don't necessarily miss going to London every day, but I did very much miss that water cooler conversation that you have. And I think a lot of members that are genuinely at home a lot, or don't necessarily have that interaction, do just enjoy coming in the morning. Hi, how are you? How's your weekend? So, yeah, it's a lovely little community. I think that's probably my favourite thing that I've achieved with the space, actually.
Thanks. So, Sandy, how do you find it? You've got a bigger place than Siobhan, with a lot of people in it.
Yeah, so we've probably got 100 plus members who are using our space now, and I think the really valuable bit for us is the introductions and connections that you can create. So we definitely have, same as Siobhan, some businesses who work together, who are referring each other, doing work for each other. It's fantastic. Yeah. We have a members app that we utilise so that people can look up other people's businesses and actually make those connections if we haven't introduced. And we're trying to do a series of members events like a Christmas drinks. We have a members breakfast on Wednesday this week, so that people just have that opportunity to stop, pause and connect and actually spend time with each other. But it's lovely to hear people chatting about holidays, about their weekend and making each other a cup of tea when they come in the morning. It feels like a really wonderful place.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's one of the nice things about these spaces, isn't it? You can do those kind of things. As you say, Siobhan, they are water cooler moments, but you've got a diverse group of people who probably aren't moaning and bitching about the management. Well, they might moan and bitch about the management of the co-working space. Yeah. But you know what I mean. In a corporate environment, most water cooler stuff is about the silly git on the third floor that's doing this out or the other. Well, of course, there's no office politics at that level because they're all different companies.
Yeah. Without
politics, yeah. But people do try still, though, don't they, to introduce politics. So, So, Mike, do you stage community events here?
I must get a water cooler. No, not in the same way. We have the facility for people to use the place for parties or launches or whatever it is, but they don't seem to choose to do that. And I think one difference between our operation and those of the other two is that we're not on site the whole time. We're physically, geographically on site, but we're not in the building the whole time, and we're not making all those particular connections. Now, the people who use the place, yep, just like anybody else, they have their lots of social chit-chat sort of thing. How much business they do between them, I can't tell you. I don't know. So there is a difference that, you know, the others have people on site all the time as, if you like, managers, whereas we don't. I mean, our users are, to a large extent, left to their own devices. That's not to say that that's the right way of going about it, but, you know, for me and for the council officers generally, it's part of the job. It's not their job, if you see what I mean. So I wouldn't pretend we're quite the same category from that point of view.
Okay, it's been great talking to you guys about what you're doing. I want to kind of finish up on by picking your brains a bit, really, about where you see the future. Any of you got any thoughts or feelings about where, not necessarily just for your space, but where you see this whole co-working, digital nomad, artificial intelligence, ChatGPT, and all the other stuff that's going on technically wise, how you think that's going to unfold as things kind of progress, if you have feelings on thoughts on such things already? Anyone?
I would say co-working is here to stay. It is growing and growing, and I think the shift is away from the city centres to the suburbs. That's so American as a term, but actually it's to the town locations. That's where the success is going to be, because people have realised they don't want to commute, but they cannot necessarily work from home. So I think it's here to stay. I think we would have opened more offices in our building if we'd have realised. We thought they'd be the hard sell. So I think that's the way it's going. So whether for us as a business we look to expand, it will be about the type of property, having a beautiful space, beautifully designed, but we would definitely look at introducing more private space.
Okay. Do you have the option to do that where you are, or would you need additional space?
We do not have the option to do that where we are. It would be additional space for us.
Yeah. This is a thing for a lot of us, isn't it? We've kind of used the space we've got, and then that's it, really, unless you go and get somewhere else. Yeah. Yeah. Cool. But I think you're absolutely right. That way of doing business is here to stay. People want flexibility. You know, so many things have happened in our society over the last few years with pandemics and wars and all kinds of nonsense and eye-watering energy costs and everything, you know. It's frightening, isn't it? I hate opening the bills. I mean, I might pay one day. But all of those things mean that people now are evaluating what they do, and as more people can work from home or work remotely or work from a laptop or work from a phone, yeah, you don't need the resources that you had once upon a time. And of course, you're probably aware we're doing a thing with a company called OrbitalNet in a couple of weeks' time about the move to digital voice. BT Openreach are closing the old PSTN network, so copper telephone connections are going rapidly, and everything will be voice over IP. So again, it's digital, so you don't have a fixed telephone, but you can have your Seven Oaks telephone number and be in New Zealand or wherever. So that flexibility, I think, is the thing that, as you say, continues to grow. I'm going to finish off by each of you giving us a shout out for the website for your business so that people can come and look at your fantastic co-working spaces. Here we go.
Thank you. So I can be found at www.helpsuites.co.uk, or we often put a lot of offers on LinkedIn and Instagram pages as well. I'm in the office practically every day, so if you would like to pop in and have a little look around, please do drop us a message.
Thanks, Siobhan. And so we are Lime Tree Workshop, four words. It's www.limetreeworkshop.co.uk. We do a lot on social media as well, so Instagram, Facebook, and also LinkedIn. It's a bit more thought leadership on LinkedIn. And please just knock if you want to see us. If you're in the town centre, pop on by. It will be myself or my sister, Kathy. We'll be there to welcome you and show you around what we've got to offer.
Thank you. This is Mike, back again from the Seven Oaks Town Council. Well, inevitably, our facility is on sevenoakstowncouncil.gov.uk, and I'll do a bit of a punt for other things we've got, because we have a whole variety of rooms and halls and council chamber and all those sort of things, which can also be rented by the hour or the day or whatever it might be. So we've got facility to take from just a single person here in the business hub right through to 200 or 300 people down at the Batten Ball Community Centre, which too has been refurbished and is a marvellous, marvellous facility. And if you're thinking of hosting a really big party, then get back to us on sevenoakstowncouncil.gov.uk. Thank you.
Thank you, folks. It's been a pleasure to talk to Siobhan, Sandy and Mike from the co-working community in Seven Oaks. This is Paul Andrews signing off for the Business Bunker Show. Have a great week. Cool. Sorry about the sound quality or some of that, but it was an outside broadcast. But I think you got the gist of it. Three really interesting locations in Seven Oaks. All very, very different offerings, but continuing the growth of remote working and flexible working. Right. We've still got loads of tweets. We've got a fantastic guest to talk to in the second part of the show. We've had a tweet from All the Arts Theatre School. They say, hello and happy Tuesday from All the Arts Theatre School. Excited to be back from half term with all the classes resuming today. And they've got hashtag Business Bunker, hashtag Tuesday Motivations.
And I've just seen Paul Ribbons has tweeted us, our guest is on in the second half, straight talking curious entrepreneur, author, coach, property trader and speaker. And Tracy, I know you're having a luscious lunch, but he's based in Rochester, Kent, quite near you. So I'm going through all the tweets. Had quite a few. You read Chips and Dinks, but hello to them.
Yep.
They did a lovely bear waving. I like that, Chiff.
Yep.
Or Giff, or whatever it is. And then Paul Andrews, don't want him. You read Foxglove Customer Creations.
I have,
you?
Yeah. There's a couple from Tracy that you need to read. Gratian for Business, it's too good to be true. No, it's not. It's the real deal, they say. Get your business proposition, new service or promotion out to a dedicated business radio audience. Give the Business Bunker show a tweet for a shout out. Absolutely. That's the lovely folks in Gravesham. Thank you for that.
And Orbital Internet Group have replied to us reading out their thing, and they say it should be an excellent game.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
Yeah, I did.
And then Jan Cavell, she's been on the show before.
She has.
Author. She said, I would love a shout out for me and Start for Success. I guess that's her new book.
It was her book, yeah.
Yeah. And you can find her on Jan Cavell, CAVELLE.co.uk. And she's an author, a writer, a speaker, and a semi-retired entrepreneur. All things startups interest her, scale ups and scale for success, and new for 2023, Start for Success. So the book is out now. Have a look at her website.
Fantastic. Zeenat Narani has said, please may you give a shout out for the Let's Talk Better 3. That's a Twitter handle. Let's Talk Better number 3 campaign event for this Thursday the 22nd, celebrating positivity 1 year anniversary. And there's a booking link on her Twitter handle, and her Twitter handle is Zeenat, Z-E-E-N-A-T _ Narani, N-O-O-R-A-N-I. That event, it's a fantastic event. I went to the last one. I can't go to this one because I'm running a careers event in Sheerness that day. But do get along if you can to the Let's Talk Better 3 campaign event. A fantastic initiative that they have there.
Celebrating positivity.
Absolutely.
And it's their 1 year anniversary. Did you say that?
Yeah, I did. Tracy Ferguson has tweeted, can I have a brilliant Business Bunker shout out for my gorgeous man who is celebrating his birthday today? We'll probably listen on catch up as I'm taking him out for lunch. Location yet to be decided. Thank you, Paul and Jules. So happy birthday, Mike. I hope you have a wonderful day. I hope she takes you somewhere really fantastic for lunch and that you have an enjoyable time.
Sounds lovely. And I'm sure we'll get some pictures.
Yeah.
And she says, hi, Paul, Jules and everyone, all the guests. I'd love a Bee Bunker shout out using the Bee Bunker hashtag for my second creative workshop, Exploring Art Journaling at the stunning The Island Works. That's a Twitter handle, at The Island Works, on the 2nd of March. There's just one space left now, she says. Can't wait to share my evolving creative journey. For more info, go to Tazi, T-A-Z-I, creates.com. And there's some lovely pictures of them all.
Yeah, fantastic. We're looking forward to welcoming Tracy back to the Island Works. She had a great workshop with us a few months ago.
So Saturday the 2nd of March, it's 10 till 4, and it's on the Island Works, £30, all materials included. And, there's a picture there. You can even scan the QR code. That's very tech, isn't it?
Yeah. Michael Park Surveyors, we would love a Business Bunker shout out. Thank you, Paul and Jules. Michael Park Surveyors, commercial surveyors, based in Medway, covering the southeast of England.
Yep. And I'm just looking at that lovely picture of Mike and Tracy.
Yep.
Just about to do. I think that might be all. Michael Parks.
Intune PR. The Business Bunker Show, good lunchtime listening.
Hello. And Michael Park say, please tell him happy birthday from us to Tracy. about Mike's thing. Chartway Janitorial, did you read that?
No.
They say, have a great show, guys. Hope you are loving your cloths. That's alluding to me, you see, because I've got a lovely
yellow cloth.
They gave me a lovely big yellow one.
All right.
And also those ones that shrink, sponges that shrink. So they're tiny and then you use them.
You put them in water and they expand.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I haven't done much cleaning, I do admit, but I will be videoing it as soon as I do. Martin Reeves, who've read that. He says, I tuned in half an hour late. He's very tired.
Come on, Martin. Very tardy.
Very tardy to be bungers. My mum's not been too well.
Oh, sorry to hear that.
She's a fighter with a little heart. And he said, did I miss Jules' infamous intro, Martin? Oh, it was a cracker today because we had our guest, Paul Ribbons.
It wasn't.
We had our guest, Paul Ribbons, tuning in and chiming in.
And that was good. But Jules's bit was not. Yeah.
And also our friends 2D Game Mania _Crypto, that you say is really easy to remember.
Yeah.
He says, I've been super busy. Sorry, tuned in now. Now, I wonder if he's found love, because he was single, wasn't he? And he put a picture of himself, and he's very nice. Do you know, my daughter, who's very glam and beautiful and very clever and successful, and she's runs a team of about 30, she's split up with a guy after 5 years, and she's having to do online dating and she absolutely hates it. And I say, you need to get out there, girl, you know, wear your stuff. Blokes don't chat you up anymore. It's all online. It's horrible.
I can't remember where I was.
Well, you were dating, were you?
No. A couple of years ago, I was somewhere and a bar somewhere or a restaurant or something. And there was a girl sat at the table next to me and some guy tried to chat her up. And, you know, asked for a number. And she just went, oh, look me up. I'm on Match.com or something.
Mm.
And I went, well, I'm talking to you now.
She said, no. Match.com is the dating agency.
It's a dating site, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. She said, I'm on there. Look me up.
That's
really... Do you not think that's a blow-off, basically? Off you go.
Yeah.
It probably was, yeah. Like, how's he going to find like say, 3 million people? Yeah.
I say tweet me to people. But I feel really sorry for her because she's been on these dates. And honestly, these boys, these men, you know, she's solvent. She's got a good career. She's got paying her pension. She's paying her student loan. She's paying a mortgage. She's paying rent. And these guys are, you know, where are the men? I don't know.
Do you mean rich men?
No, I don't mean rich men. I mean a man with a career that isn't living with his mum, you know, still. I mean, she's 36.
Yeah.
And these guys, all they're married, of course. They're all married. And she's gorgeous. But I said, you've got to get out there. But, you know. It's very difficult.
Neville Gaunt has...
he's not at all Gaunt.
No, he's not. But he's launched a really interesting initiative and he's asked for a shout-out amongst Business Bunker listeners. He said, will you invest £5, £10, £50 in our entrepreneurship programme for refugees? In return, you will be promoted as corporate social responsibility sponsor, delivering SDG goals. It takes a village to raise a child. Join the club of financial investors to make a real difference. This is a unique program. 100% goes directly to refugees, pays the trainers who teach technical and soft skills. Plus, we provide the materials needed for the startup to succeed. Financial literacy. This is taking place in Africa, by the way.
Yeah.
Financial literacy is provided free by the Bank of Uganda. No admin or overheads. Our international coaches and mentors give their time for free. All this is in 90 days and for less than £50 per startup.
Wow.
So if you can help Neville by having a small donation to this fantastic event initiative, if you go to www.gofundme.com, how you can help the refugee crisis, you can make your donation there.
I must send that to the new husband because we work a lot in Africa. But was that the one where they were making soaps as well? Did he mention the soap making on that one? Because there was one where he was giving them the tools to make soaps.
Yeah.
That they could sell in and things as well.
That was one of the startups. Yeah.
Yeah. We've had a lovely tweet. Or an X, if you want to call it that, from the Foxglove Customer Creations. You can find them on Twitter at Foxglove Laser, LASER. And they say, Jules Serkin, Vanillaware me first, of course. Thank you both for following us, liking and retweeting my posts. More importantly, thank you endlessly for that amazing mention on your show today. That gave me goosebumps and a tear in my eye. Lancashire Business, there's a hashtag, Lancashire Business, B Bunker and SBS, Small Business something, is that SBS?
SBS.
Small Business something?
Network? Could be.
Yeah, it's a hashtag, SBS. Anyway, they say thank you, and they've got lots of lovely
SBS.
Pictures. Yeah.
Oh, Small Business Saturday.
Oh, and they've done... Oh, yeah, of course. And they've got lots of great visuals on there. Frank, Let's Go Walkies, all the stuff they do. Oh, they're winners, you know. They've won Theo...
Small Business...
Papitis. How do you say it? Papitis. It's Papalotis, isn't it? But this is Papitis, it says on here. Have they shortened
Theo
it?
Papitis. Theo Papitis.
Oh, Papitis. But there was one that had a longer name.
Small Business Saturday is the competition that he runs every week.
Well, they have won. So this is, I'm looking at their things, you see. This is to certify that Foxglove Custom Creative is a winner. So they won.
Mm.
And it is SBS, Small Business Saturday. Because
mm-hmm.
I always do the Shop Local Saturday thing, you see, as well. Right. Theo Paphitis. Must be a little Greek. Is that how you say it, Paphitis?
No.
How do you say it then?
Theopathetis.
Well, you say Paphitis, I say Paphitis.
Yeah,
you say tomato, I say tomato.
Yeah, but we're right and you're wrong.
Only because you've heard him say it.
It was on Dragon's Den for about 10 years.
I don't watch Dragon's Den.
You don't watch anything?
I don't like reality TV at all.
Uh-huh.
It's just all the long eyelashes put me off of the girls with the lips, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean, I might watch it, but I just too much.
Right.
It's the draft as they blink, you know, the eyelashes. Martin Reeves, without the Vandellas, said thank you for my B Bunker shout out and a lovely thumbs up. And 2D Game Mania _ Crypto.
Crypto, yeah, you got it.
He says, I haven't been out enough to find anyone. I'm in no rush, though. I'm waiting for someone special. Well, that's what my daughter says. She says, I'm really happy on my own.
You can see where this is going, don't you? You can see where this is going.
She goes to the gym. She walks to the office. She's videoing or she's filming a TV at Ealing Studios, the TV
You're
thing.
Selling it, Jules. You're selling it all.
We're going to call your app.
I don't know. I just would get them all down the pub. That's what I would do. I'd do a meetup.
Mm. Well, you do know Diamond Singles that do the dating show here. That's what they do.
Yeah.
They have meetups.
Yeah. Where is it, the meetup?
All over Kent.
Mm. I think my Sid needs to get a booty on and go to Diamond Singles. And then Martin Reeves is telling us.
Go on.
Sorry to interrupt. He says...
No, you're not.
I met my wife via Match.com.
Ah.
Prior to meeting my wife, internet dating was hit and miss. There are some crazy people about. I hear it's full of players. Yeah, that's what I worry about my daughter meeting all these strange people. You know.
Yeah,
I met my new husband at a party.
Really?
Yeah. In the days when you went to parties. And I was in the middle of two guys who were talking to me. We were sitting on the floor. It was that kind of party. And I had a little drink and stuff. And then he came and barged in between one of them and sat down beside me. And I thought that showed chutzpah.
Right.
The rest is history.
Ooh. Yeah.
Chutzpah.
Yeah. I've been trying to read this for 10 minutes and we're going to run out of time.
And Martin Reeves says SBS is Small Business Sunday.
Saturday.
He says Sunday. I've entered many times but have yet to win with Collector's Buddy. So...
That's right, Martin. You're doing it on the wrong day, mate.
Yeah, I think it's a typo, but we don't know. Maybe he's arranged his own.
Maybe he's changed it to Sunday. I don't know. I don't follow it.
Well, you know, there's lots of businesses that are open on Sunday.
Anyway, look.
Do you want to say something?
Make your business a winner. The Kent Business Awards is open for all businesses in Kent, and it's free to enter. Over the last 8 years, the Kent Business Awards have been sought-after awards for local businesses in Maidstone, Medway, Tunbridge Wells, Ashford and Canterbury. So basically, the awards take place on a regional basis, and then there's a final award awarded for the overall Kent winner. But there's four regional awards, and there's 12 categories in each award, and then there's two awards dinners. There was one last year, but oh, that was epic. I was a compere for it. 6.5 hours.
I know.
I was the only, everyone
you need to
else
talk faster.
Everyone else was drunk. I'm up there 6.5 hours standing on stage.
Yeah, well, the trouble is you're teetotal, and there's nothing worse than being teetotal when there's people falling.
When you're
about.
Doing 6.5 hours on stage,
how did you manage that going to the loo? I mean, I couldn't last that long.
Oh, well, there was.
Well, teetotal was not drinking, is he?
Yeah, exactly.
Dehydrated.
Yeah.
I take my shiwi with me.
Yeah.
I was fine. That's helpful.
Anyway, if you go to the website, which is businessawardskent.co.uk, you can find all the categories, all the details, and all the forms that you need to fill in to enter. So why don't you do that?
Lovely. We have a brewery. But we've only got a tick before we go to the news. Do we do the news anymore? I don't know. A break, anyway. A brewery has been confirmed as the latest addition to a harbourside attraction, and we love the Folkestone Harbour Arm. So it's Flock Brewery, FLOC Brewery, welcoming customers at the Harbour Arm in Folkestone in the goods yard. I think that's what I was talking about last week, wasn't I?
It was, yeah.
You were a bit vague about it.
Me?
Yeah. You were both a bit vague, you and the guest. Who lives in Folkestone. I said it was the old railway.
It was Jilly. Yeah, you were talking to Jilly about it because she lives in Folkestone. Yeah. I haven't been to Folkestone for months.
We were both vague about it. Anyway, so I knew there was one in the goods yard.
Anyway, shut up.
The outside area is made. Shall I read it after?
No.
The outside area is made up of a selection of 10 independent bars and street food kiosks. So go to the goods yard next to the harbour screen in Folkestone.
We're going to have a break. When we come back, we're going to talk to the fabulous Mr. Paul Ribbons, and we'll hear some more of your tweets and emails.